One of the issues the president had to respond to during his trip was Guantanamo and the fate of the detainees being held there. The Supreme Court ruled last week that the suspected terrorists have the right to go to federal court to seek their release. Here's how President Bush reacted.
First of all, as to the Supreme Court decision, we'll abide by the court's decision. That doesn't mean I have to agree with it.
The president also indicated he might propose a new law to keep the detainees in U.S. prisons. Nearly 800 detainees have passed through Guantanamo since 9/11. According to a newspaper series that started today, hundreds of those detainees had little to do with Al-Qaeda, and many of them were radicalized at Guantanamo by an Al-Qaeda cell behind the camp's walls. The series comes from the McClatchy newspapers, which include the Miami Herald, the Kansas City Star, and the Sacramento Bee. Tom Lassiter did the reporting. He and a colleague talked to 66 of the 500 detainees who've been released over the last 6 years.
They were detained initially in Afghanistan at Kandahar Airfield and Bagram Air Base. And they pointed, despite popular perception, not to Guantanamo as the place where they were most likely to be abused, but in fact Kandahar, and in particular Bagram Air Base. It was at Bagram that two Afghan detainees in December 2002 were beaten to death. That got some coverage a little later, but we looked at it in much broader terms of what was happening at Bagram. We looked at thousands of pages of court-martial documents. I traveled to Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana to speak with former guards at Bagram. And the picture that emerged was really a place where it was at times a little out of control. And they would go from there to Guantanamo. So if you take someone, let's say from Afghanistan, who either was not linked to militancy or was linked at very low levels, he says, physically abused at Bagram Air Base, and then he goes to Guantanamo.
Abused by Americans at Bagram.
Right, by U.S.
And
soldiers.
And goes to Guantanamo in a rage already.
Right. At Guantanamo, you also had housed fairly radical imams and jihadist fighters from across the world. And they are, several of them at least, indoctrinated by these militants. A guy by the name of Muhammad Naim Farouk, who was detained in 2002. When Farouk was detained, he was a tribal strongman. You know, we would probably in the States call him a thug. And at the time, he was not affiliated with the Taliban or Al-Qaeda. And so he spends about a year in U.S. custody and is released back to Afghanistan. And in 2006, I think it was, the Defense Intelligence Agency released a stack of 20 most wanted cards for Afghanistan and Pakistan. On the top of the deck was Osama bin Laden. 16 cards into the deck was Muhammad Naim Farouk, who was now not a local criminal and strongman, but a Taliban leader. And some that we spoke with said that the Taliban is very aggressive in coming to former Guantanamo detainees, saying, now you've seen the Americans, now you've seen what they'll do. It's time to join us. It's time to join the fight.
Let's back up just for a second. I want to ask you how these people who had little or no link to Al-Qaeda in the first place got into Bagram Air Base or Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the picture you paint in your series, anyway, is one of sort of sweeping people off the battlefield almost indiscriminately and getting clues, suspect clues about people.
Yeah, sure, there was a whole series of events that went into that. In late 2001, the U.S. military was distributing leaflets in Afghanistan saying, turn in militants and we'll give you a cash bounty. And so you had from the beginning a financial incentive, particularly for local warlords, to round up as many people as they could and present them to the Americans as militants. And then a little later, as you had the insurgency start in Afghanistan, you know, this is a country where you've got decades of invasion and civil war and, you know, sectarian and political and tribal conflict. And so you've got a lot of people who want to settle scores with their former enemies. And so they would funnel false reports to informants, to whoever they could, to try to get their rivals removed.
Most of the problems you reported on in this series happened 5 or 6 years ago. Do you get a sense that the abuses have stopped? What do you know about now?
I think, certainly from what we've heard, Bagram is not the place that it once was. There's far more control than there was, that it really, you know, was cleaned up after the Abu Ghraib scandal. the question that lingers is the implications of how the system was in those early years and what it'll mean for us as a nation. And I think that's something that the answer will be years in coming.
Tom Lassiter is a correspondent with McClatchy Newspapers. His series, Guantanamo Beyond the Law, began today. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We asked the Pentagon to respond to the allegations about Bagram and Guantanamo in the McClatchy stories. This is Defense Department spokesman Commander Jeffrey Gordon.
Our policy is and always has been to treat detainees humanely. All credible allegations of abuse are thoroughly investigated and individuals are held accountable for their actions. 13 major reviews of detention operations have not found any policy that ever condoned or tolerated abuse of detainees. Recommendations resulting from those reviews have improved our operations over time.
Commander Gordon added that the Pentagon does not respond to individual allegations of detainee abuse.